From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Oh my God, so I'm sitting over here coughing up a lung. I'm probably going to die or something from COVID, but you know what? We'll make it through the show, I'm sure. Hey kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You know, it's Jockulation and all that stuff. Apparently, there are certain individuals that are in the audience that were a little butthurt that, real life took over last week. But hey, what can I say, man? Working endless hours of overtime. There's some in the audience that can relate. You know what I'm saying there, Krim? You get where I'm coming from? Oh my God. Boy, have I got lots of accounting stories, but are we going to go ahead and share those tonight? Abso-fucking-lutely not. That's for another time. That's like, when Ron needs some filler material, then we'll go ahead and actually talk about, like, accounting stuff. He can bring Neil back on, and then we can all just sit there and overdose on spreadsheet talk and finance talk and all kinds of talk like that. But is Friday night for that? I mean, come on, kids. Fuck no. We're not going to do that on Friday night. Because there's far too many things that we've got to do. Can't do that. Can't do that on Friday night, Neil. There's like strict rules that we've got to follow. And you know something? Since I missed a week, what winds up happening is like it's almost like it's like constipation, right? I'm all backed up and I got like lots and lots of stories and stuff like that and things to share. And I'm just going to kind of like have a little bit of Pepto and it's all going to just blast itself out. In fact, I don't know how much music we're going to have tonight, but you know something? On with the show, right? Yeah, I can tell that everybody's like really disappointed at the accounting talk, right? It's just kind of one of those.
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
Hey, LP, where the fuck's the accounting talk? It's not happening tonight. So listen, I was captivated because everybody was in my feed over on my alternative social media channels, which by the way, kids, just a quick update. The Patreon page is actually almost finished. Holy effing hell. If only banking would be easy and would, I don't know, make it so you could accept credit cards and shit like that pretty easy, it'd be wonderful. But is that the way that it is, Gabriel? You know, listen to me, Carlos.
No, no, no.
Gabriel was in my freaking head because he's shouting, I want numbers. And I'm like, is that what you think, Gabriel? I mean, Carlos? Holy fucking hell. All right, so I got captivated because my feed was overtaken. I have like a nerd fest of people that sit here and are in my like Facebook feed and all those things because that's what I was, man. I was a nerd. I still am a fucking nerd. I'm an older nerd, but I'm a nerd nonetheless. So one of my nerd friends happens to actually be an artist for DC Comics, or at least was at one point. And, there was a lot of discussion back and forth. And I have another friend that's got a hard-on for Marvel Comics and shit like that. So the big topic of discussion was, holy shit, you got to see Zack Snyder's version of the freaking Justice League, dude. It's, like, incredible. And when we went ahead and took a look at Zack Snyder's, Justice League, were we impressed at all?
How about new?
Fuck no, man. I was looking at it going, you know something? This looks a lot like the last one. Except what winds up happening is, it kind of reminds me of, like, The Big Short when they talk about, like, collateralized debt obligations. So for those of you that are not familiar with what the hell that is, oh, she's someone's licking their wounds here, Nine. Oh, my God. A collateralized debt obligation. I'm just going to put it together in the Cliff's Notes version. In finance, it's when you're sitting here trying to put together a bunch of mortgages, and you go ahead and push out a mortgage bond, and somebody buys it. And whatever you've got left over that nobody else wants, you just kind of like smoosh it all together and create another offering and get a credit rating agency to give you like some stupid rating that is absolutely beyond the pale of what it should be. So if you think about it, like the Justice League, Zack Snyder's version is kind of like the CDO, the collateralized debt obligation of freaking films. So effectively what you're doing is you're sitting here and picking up all the shit that's left on the floor. Oh, well, fuck, we cut that out. We could put that over here. And maybe we'll put that over here. And perhaps if we put it in a sepia tone, we can get this shit to work. And look, hey, it's a pile of shit, but it's twice as long. So therefore, it's quality, all right? So that's how we go ahead and take freaking Zack Snyder's film and turn it into, like, I don't know, this thing that we're supposed to go ahead and get together and do.
Clear. Uh-huh. Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So, was I impressed by it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you know something? As I was sitting there watching this, all of a sudden, I had something pollute my feed. Since it was like, you know, all the freaking Oscars and shit going on or whatever the hell was happening this past weekend or the weekend before. I can't remember because all the shit's blending together, right? Kind of like the whiskey. But at any rate, so, you know, all this shit's fucking blending together. Apparently, at this last awards ceremony, there was a French woman, Corianne Mazurio, and she showed up on stage dressed in a bloodstained donkey costume and then basically dumped those off to remove, and she was stark fucking naked with the words scrawled across her chest, no culture, no future. And so she goes over there and says, hey, you know what we miss? We miss what unites us, the emotions that we experience together. And apparently, while most businesses have opened in France, theaters and cinemas have been closed for more than 3 months. Several theaters were occupied two Fridays ago in at least 9 cities with sit-ins at the Odeon Theater and the Left Bank in Paris on their 8th day. So hanging heavy over the ceremony was the memory of last year's disastrous event. Stars walked out. Protesters were tear-gassed outside after the decision to award Polish director Roman Polanski, who's accused of multiple sexual assaults and the statutory rape of a 13-year-old girl. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, yeah, culture, huh? As though our fucking modern culture ruled by, like, endless TikTok natural selection-inspired challenges, shitty rebooted movies and shitty original stories and disposable celebrity Instagram influencers is somehow the fucking golden age of Western culture. Get the fuck out of here with that. You know what I'm saying? Oh my fucking God. So it made me sit here and think about this, and I'm like, you know, maybe she's got a point. As I was struggling for what the hell do I put a show together for? I'm like, I know, I'm the cultural attaché of the stars. Who would be a better and more qualified person to talk about the greatest cultural failures of, like, recent history other than yours truly, your host, your buddy, the guy that knows it all? You know what I'm saying here?
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
So I sat there and I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what we've got to do? We've got to make this, like a modern culture kind of inspired thing with, like, an infusion of stupidity and some things from the past, kind of give it a little bit of that retro feel, right? So we started to visit a few of the people and the things and the events that were influencing us that we consider to be one of the greatest cultural failures. Now, if you stop and think about it, we live in a society today that's just, like, completely influenced by my favorite thing to beat up on, TikTok. Well, I thought, you know what, that's a little bit overused. Let's go find another cultural influencer somewhere that, you know, epitomizes exactly what this fucking stupidity is. Whoops. Whoa. Uh-oh. LP just made a big boo-boo. Uh-oh. Hold on a second. Now I've got to go find my little freaking source because yours truly didn't go ahead and fix the links when I was going ahead and managing everything else. But I'll get it. Hold on one second. Doe. Doe. LP. Boo. All right. Hold on a second. So I decided that what I would do is find a freaking cultural influencer that went ahead, I know, right, Qua? A cultural influencer that is the face of just abject terrible, of just abject freaking, you know, failure of the culture. So I found this fantastic Popeye bodybuilder who had the brilliant idea of taking, like, petroleum jelly and injecting it inside of his fucking muscles so that he could go and be, like, you know, all beefy. So this ex-soldier, Krill Treshen, he's a 24-year-old man nicknamed Bazooka. He injected himself with some petroleum jelly to look muscly. Yeah. Well, apparently, this self-styled Popeye has revealed the grotesque horror of his stupidity because he has lumps of hardened petroleum jelly and dead muscle, you know, revealed from his bulging triceps. That's right, kids. And you know that some fucktard is going to be out there saying, hey, I want arms just like him, and is going to go over and, like, you know, grab the petroleum jelly in a syringe and just jam it into his arm and start pumping up his freaking crazy ass arms, right? Well, apparently the petroleum jelly implants led to, quote, high fever, strong pain, and weakness. No shit, you think? Quote, I'm only 24 and my immune system is so far coping with this inflammation, but I really do not know what will happen next. Well, let me give you a clue. You're probably going to fucking die. I'm just saying, you know, it's natural selection when some fucktard like you goes ahead and just grabs the petroleum jelly and says, hey, I got a great idea, cosmetic surgery. Now, I don't know about you. I never look at a thing of petroleum jelly and think, hey, you know what would be great? If I jammed this thing into my ass and made my ass look fantastic inside of this Speedo. No, that is not the first thing that comes to my mind. First thing that comes to my mind is, that's pretty disgusting. Let me go ahead and stick it in the cupboard somewhere because I don't want to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? But no, apparently some people thought that is like the way to go. And I suppose in some ways it's like a step up from industrial adhesive products that you use to go ahead and, I don't know, juice up your freaking, like, you know, your personal beauty regimen and shit like that. But that's pretty fucked up. So I'm like, all right, that's a great place to start. Let's go ahead and take a look and see what could possibly be another great cultural failure that we could potentially go ahead and take a look at. Are you implying that that Swoop here juices with some petroleum jelly in the biceps? I'm just wondering, since you're putting a half-naked picture of him up there. At any rate, so what is the next great cultural failure in modern, in recent history that we can go ahead and throw up there? Well, I mean, who better to go ahead and sit there and actually speak on an empowering women chat than Kamala Harris and, I don't know, Bill Clinton, right?
I mean,
that's a fucking cultural failure like you can't even imagine, right? So apparently this event is the theme of women's empowerment was to be hosted by the Clinton Foundation at Howard University, and it's been roundly ridiculed after it emerged that it will feature Bill fucking Clinton. Dude, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, nothing checks the keynote speaker qualifications boxes for an empowering women's summit quite like Bubba's resume, right? Let's go down the list. One, he has at least four women alleging sexual assault. Two, he's unleashed a scandal after being caught banging the White House intern in the Oval Office and subsequent public humiliation tour after that, right? And three, he's allegedly earned more frequent flyer miles on Jeff Epstein's Lolita Express than, like, all the other frequent flyers combined. I mean, shit, if that doesn't speak to you as, like, keynote fucking speaker, perfect person to go ahead and do a women's empowerment summit, I don't know what the fuck you're missing, man, because that's the way it should be. You know what I'm saying there? That's right, man. So in the event that you guys would like to get your copy of, like, Ghislaine Maxwell's deposition autographed by Bubba Clinton himself, you know, I've got the press release right here. You too can attend this wonderful event and perhaps ask Bill Clinton some pointed questions and maybe get your autographed copy of Ghislaine Maxwell's deposition, because, you know, we want to go to the juicy parts where she identifies him by name. So just be sure that you have that opened or earmarked or whatever the case may be, and just have him go ahead and sign it. You know what I'm saying? So what other cultural fails could there possibly be out there, right? Well, I got a great one. How about during this period of time that we're currently living in, why don't we go ahead and have a fourth grade school class do a Civil War assignment? And here's a great idea. Why don't we go ahead and have some pro-slavery hashtags on the classroom as part of the fourth grade Civil War assignment as well? How's that? You think that goes over well? So apparently at an elementary school in Waxhaw, North Carolina, they displayed some pro-slavery hashtags on the classroom wall as part of a fourth grade Civil War assignment. And as part of the assignment, the Waxhaw Elementary School asked students to write tweets from the perspectives of various Civil War figures in North Carolina and displayed the ones they were most proud of on the fucking billboard. How could this possibly go wrong? Well, kids, a photo of the billboard pasted on the school's Facebook page featured hashtags like slavery for life and a made-up account called Don't Stop Slavery. That Facebook post has since been deleted, but an insider had seen a copy of it. One comment from at Don't Stop Slavery says, "You may not agree with slavery, but I do, and I'm honest about it. Hashtag slavery for life." Another comment from at Confederate for Life said, "Why do we need to leave the country? We can stay and our slaves. Hashtag slavery forever." So, from what I'm understanding, there might be like an opening inside of the freaking school over at North Carolina over there. So, if you're looking for a teaching job, from what I understand, the bar is kind of low as far as the requirements go. And just one thing you should probably not do is you might not want to go ahead and have any like Civil War type education things that involve Twitter and hashtags and shit like that for quite some time. Just a thought, just a suggestion. And you know what's always great to know is if there's ever a corpse fucker that's there to help you, go ahead and potentially just absolutely do the wrong thing, it would be Mark Zuckerberg, because apparently Facebook's been auto-generating pages for white supremacists, and he had to testify in front of Congress yesterday about it. Oops. So apparently researchers at the Tech Transparency Project found that Facebook created dozens of pages for groups like the Universal Aryan Brotherhood movement when a user did something as simple as list them as their employer. So some of the auto-generated pages garnered thousands of likes by the time they were discovered by researchers. TTP also discovered four Facebook groups had been created by users. Now, Facebook's own user interfacing algorithms were the ones that were helping this shit out, right? TTP found that on pages for an organization called the Nazi Lowriders, Facebook recommended that users also like a page for the Aryan Brotherhood. And I'm thinking, right, the Facebook algo was probably thoughtful enough to set up an Aryan Brotherhood page reco for the Waxhaw Elementary School's, you know, Civil War project. I mean, anyone want to guess the over-under on white supremacists of Waxhaw Elementary School Facebook page has more likes and follows than the actual elementary school? I'm willing to bet probably that's the case, right? Dude, I mean, this is our Western culture. This is our fucking cultural failures that I'm talking about here. This is the golden age, according to our French person who was protesting 2 weeks ago, bitching about, oh, well, we have no fucking culture anymore. No culture, no life. And I'm like, do you see the fucking culture we have to sit? What the fuck is wrong with you? But at any rate, I digress. And you know, speaking of culture and awards ceremonies, I almost forgot to include some of the latest winners of that fantastic, wonderful fucking award I've created, the Great Moments in Just Shut the Fuck Up, right? So, who could possibly lead this week's nominees, right? The winner this week has to be Theodore Cruz, right? Teddy Cruz, because Teddy Cruz, just shut the fuck up with your thoughts and prayers already. So in a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, Cruz talked about the ways that the United States could prevent shootings like the one seen in Atlanta and Boulder that occurred almost 1 week apart. And here's his fucking here comes his great fucking line. "By the way, I don't apologize for thoughts or prayers. I will lift up in prayer people who are hurting and believe in the power of prayer, and contempt of the Democrats for prayers is an odd social thing." And then, of course, backtracking, "But I also agree that thoughts and prayers alone are not enough. We need action." Now, here's the thing that really gets me, right? Dickless Durbin over inside there also comes in and says, "You know something? Freaking prayer leaders have their important place in this." And I'm just going to stop right there. You know where prayer leaders have their place? Keep it in the pulpit, bro. It's like when you're sitting there teaching a four-year-old boy, keep your hands off your dick. Keep it in your pants, right? Keep your thoughts and fucking prayers in the church, dude. Listen, I can appreciate when somebody is sitting there saying, "I empathize with you. And the way I show you my empathy is through prayer." But when you're a politician that's sitting there telling me this same bullshit over here, both of you guys, you know what, fucktards? Just shut the fuck up and do something already. All right? I don't want to hear about your fucking thoughts and prayers. Like, I don't want to hear who it is you're fucking. Things like that. Just keep it to your fucking self and do a job. But you know something? Theodore Cruz, you know, the nerdy backup singer of the world-famous band The Chipmunks. You know him, right? I think your thoughts and prayers comment would have come off as a little more sincere had you made it over a Zoom call in Cancun with a glistening yet sunburnt muffin top spilling over a ball-hugging Speedo that's two sizes too small, all while funneling Corona on the beach. That would have gone ahead and said sincerity to me. You know what I'm saying? Sitting over inside of your freaking sad-ass, like, you know, Senate chamber seat, crying and whining about, you're going to accept my thoughts and prayers if you like it or not, isn't exactly coming across as sincere. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't feel that way. So, Theo, do me a favor. Save what's left of your dignity and find another corpse to fuck in a desperate attempt to save your Senate seat. I mean, LP, do you seriously think he's trying, this parasite's trying to save a seat? Fuck yeah, right? I'm not detecting, like, the intertwined aromas of pig sweat and feces one would typically smell wafting off of a desperate little parasite. And, I mean, speaking of parasites, let me borrow a phrase from another word, from another world-renowned parasite, Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, and suggest that you need to, you know, lean in a little bit. So, Teddy Cruz here, via fundraising emails and Facebook ads this week, he asked supporters to pitch in $60 or more for a copy of Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham that he'd autographed himself. And copies are selling on Amazon of Green Eggs and Ham for $4.79. So in an email, Cruz boasted Thursday of signing another 175 copies because the response has been huge. He described the book signed by him as, quote, a cancel culture collectible. Should we stop there or should we just move forward and actually just talk about this legend in his own fucking mind? So there you go. You can go ahead and actually read all about him signing off his fucking copies there. But let me tell you this much, right? To me, the closest analogy of what this fucktard is doing is it would be like some random incel going to siliconwives.com, and yes, that's a real site, and buying up a bunch of high-end luxury sex dolls, signing his fucking name across their forehead, and then selling them at a premium to the other incels as, quote, incel martyr collectibles, right? That's about effectively what this really comes to. At any rate, that being said, so after signing all those copies of fucking Green Eggs and Ham, our misunderstood thoughts and prayers protagonist du jour, Theodore, apparently feels he's the Sam I Am of thoughts and prayers. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a passage inside his fucking book for him, right? Ted I Am, and Ted declares, you fuckers be grateful for my thoughts and prayers. Would you like them poll trolling at the men's room stall or messaged on your Grindr wall? You know, shit like that. Like he's the fucking protagonist inside of this goddamn thing. Bro, look, I expect my politicians to be parasites, but effectively autographing your name on someone else's book like it's your ghostwritten fucking biography, or maybe you were the lead fluffer in some forgettable bargain bin Dr. Seuss porn parody made in the 80s, sets a new low for parasites even of your caliber, sir. And I'm not even sitting here talking about you specifically. We're talking about fucking well, actually, I am talking about you specifically, but let's digress for a second. Just politicians as a whole. Parasites, do me a favor. Just shut up and do your fucking job. I don't need to hear your opinions anymore. Was I a little too impassioned about that? Not well. You know, we've got to go ahead and put some energy into the show, right? More energy. More energy. Well, listen, kids, we also got an honorable mention in Great Moments and Just Shut the Fuck Up. And I mean, geez, like what? 2 weeks ago we had a winner, and it turns out he doesn't know when to just shut the fuck up. Who's our winner this week in the honorable mention? Why, it's Prince Chucky again, of course. He apparently has taken the lead on the palace response to Meghan and Harry's interview, says the royal expert. Apparently he's going to try and placate and learn lessons from this so something can be worked out to everyone's satisfaction. Now, normally what you do is you'd get a comms expert. Hey, Normak. You'd normally get a comms expert to come in and write your shit for you. But not Chucky. No, no. Chucky went ahead and decided he'd write his own response. And are we ready for this? Here we go. Let's hear the insincerity drip off of this one. The whole family is saddened to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, They take it very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much-loved family members. Sincerely, fuck off. Right? So let's get real for this a second. Everything was great up until you opened your fucking mouth and said, you know, what was that over there? Some recollections may vary. That's a nice way of saying, hey, that's not true, man. You're a fucking liar. My favorite was when Harry's sitting there during the interview and he's like, yeah, you know, some senior royals were concerned about the skin color that that Archie might exhibit. And they're like, what? Oprah Winfrey. And then he goes ahead afterwards and he says, yeah, you know, Oprah, about those senior royals, it's not the queen and it's not her husband. Okay, well, who is it? I can't tell you. And then, of course, what happens? You have Prince William. Is your family a bunch of racists? I mean, screaming from across the lawn. And Prince William's like, no, we're not racist at all. What are you talking about? Right? Hey, Prince Chucky, is your family a bunch of racists? What does Prince Chucky do? He runs over to Jesus' house and takes pictures with only the black people over there because, and then he's out in about an hour. Like he went to a fucking In-N-Out Burger or something like that, you know, to go ahead and get a little bit of white guilt as a side. I mean, get the fuck out of here, dude. So now this is the guy who's going to go ahead and run the entire show as far as like, here's the official response from the palace and watch him flub it the fuck up, right? So he basically is sitting there compensating for something. So, like, clearly after the feeble attempt to rent a few black friends for a photo op with a side order of white guilt from the In-N-Out drive-thru at Jesus House, the subjects and world at large appear a little unimpressed there, Chucky. So here's my thought to you. What you should probably do is you should probably go ahead and order up some blacks and take a photo op with them. Dude, Qua, that's probably exactly what it was like based upon the reports that I gave 2 weeks ago, right? So at any rate, here's what my thought is, Chucky. If you're really not going to go ahead and get comms people to deal with this and, like, you know, spin something and create a bunch of, like, disingenuous but somehow, like, artificial hot dog filler type responses that shut people up and make them think that you're not as racist as you really are, allegedly, then what you really probably should do is draft your copy of what you're going to go ahead and say, and you should probably run it by the seatbelt psychic and Miss Cleo and have them give you a reading so then you can find out whether or not perhaps it might be just a tad off the mark. Just a thought, just something I'm suggesting out there because, hey, listen, man, you provide us endless amounts of comedy, right? Nobody could potentially go ahead and be as disingenuous as you and humiliate themselves and subject themselves to this shit. So we need people like you out there because you're an easy target, and I need to make jokes. So thank you, Prince Chucky, but please, I need you there a little bit longer, so get in touch with the seatbelt psychic, take a drive with him, let him give you a reading, let him talk to dead people for you for a second, you know what I'm saying? And then just call up Miss Cleo, you know, call me now. I'll give you a free reading. Give Miss Cleo a call. Get a reading from her. Get your shit straight, dude. And let's go ahead and move on with life, shall we? All right, man. That rant was a little bit too much right now. There's some whiskey over there, and I got a dry throat, and we're going to take care of that. You know what? We'll be right back after the break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of this shit show. As always, you're listening to Joculation. Nah, news ain't a bad thing there, Patient Zero. It's actually a good thing. Because without the news, I wouldn't have a show, right? Well, I mean, I could. I could just sit here and just play a bunch of punk rock tunes and then just have, like, nobody in the audience. I'd just be entertaining myself, you know what I mean? And what fun would that be? Would that be any fun? I mean,
How about news?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of write this show to entertain myself because it's kind of weird over here. I remember in the AMA, I was answering Eileen's question at one point, and I'm like, if you want to get an idea of how strange it is, there's a 20-second delay to start off with, right? And then on top of that, you're sitting inside of a place, wherever it is that you're at, all by yourself, talking to yourself, and everything is freaking, like, you know, a delayed response. So it's kind of interesting and kind of weird. So imagine if you think about him, amateur. So imagine thinking about this. You're inside of a room full of people. You crack a joke, you get no response, and then you're like, well, I guess I don't know what to, it just didn't land. And then all of a sudden, as you're walking away, everybody starts laughing. It's a bit confusing at times. You know what I'm saying? But look at this, kids. We got a circle of intimacy that has actually kind of grown over here. Check this shit out.
One of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
So, Gabriel, the answer is, of course, man. When have I ever done this show and not had, like, whiskey as my co-pilot, right? Some people have Jesus. Other people go shotgun. Dude, I have whiskey as my co-pilot. It's my friend. It's my companion. It helps make the show entertaining, I think, right? Or am I wrong? And AMR's dropping stuff inside of here, you know, the gifts and stuff. Hey there, AMR. Good to talk to you from, like, down over inside the basement there. A beer, dude, too many calories and it doesn't get to the point quick enough. You know what I'm saying? But funny, this is a great segue because why? Because now we're in that cultural part of the show. I mean, as if the first of it wasn't that, it wasn't cultural enough, right? Whiskey and Jesus, brah, we'll talk about that another time. That being said, let's get back to the show here. We're talking about beer, right? And this is normally the part of the show where we have the cultural part, right? Because why? Because I'm the cultural attaché to the stars. I have to hear you on the Discord. The web's like, because Discord doesn't like me. You know what the best part is? I'm wondering if Water Fairy Dance is listening to my show. So my daughter is always upstairs, and she comes down in the morning with a big smile. And she's like, I heard your show last night. I'm like, no, you didn't. She's like, I heard you through the vents, Dad. And I'm like, ah, fuck. So, you know, whatever. So speaking of beer and culture and all that kind of shit, let me just go ahead and say this much, right? There's a very sad, sad TikTok trend happening right now, which, oh God, right? Everybody's like, LP, you cover these all the time. It's like there's a dumb one every week, right? We had the Gorilla Glue Challenge, and we had the other one, and then blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, man, people are doing the profane here, right? Corona beer in and of itself sucks now already, right? It's terrible. But then they're going to go ahead and turn it into a fucking tequila sunrise over here on top of that. Listen. Listen. I don't care what you put inside that shit. It's still going to taste like shit. It's just sugary, colorful shit, okay, when you put this stuff in there. But I digress. Let's read the story here. You dump a bunch of ingredients inspired by the classic cocktail, Tequila Sunrise, and you dump it into a bottle of fucking Corona and make it, quote, a Corona Sunrise. Neil, it's the most fucking disgustingly awful thing ever, and I'm not going to even try it. I won't get near it. Oh, just hold on, Ron. Just hold on. I got more. Bro, I've got a lot of stuff. It's like all built up inside of me. So, all you need is a bottle of Corona, some tequila, orange juice, grenadine, and if you're fancy, a lime wedge. Let's just stop there. Does this sound appealing to anybody other than, I don't know. Let me put it to you this way. I was watching the Tri Network last night with AMR. And as we're watching, they decided to do, like, college cocktails. And one of them was a Skittles cocktail where you just take vodka and a bag of Skittles and you dump the Skittles in and you leave it in the fridge to, like, strip off the flavoring and coloring shellac on the outside for, like, 24 hours. And then what you do is you just, like, pour the strainer, Yes 9 and Corona beer. That needs to be a fucking viral tag. And you basically go ahead and strain off all the stuff. Now, even that stuff creates scum at the surface, right? But let's be real, okay? I think it was Bloodhound Gang that pointed out in that Grammy Award-winning song, My Dad Says That's for Pussies, that gargling after a blowjob is how they make light beer. Well, since, like, Corona is, like, five steps below light beer, it's like a classic Urban Dictionary-style recycler, but a light beer version of it, right? And somehow adding fruit and mixers will allegedly make this piss water collected from a dive bar urinal pawned off as beer more classy. Get the fuck out of here with that. Hey, do we believe this for a second? Huh?
No.
Listen, no matter what the fuck you do, and you know what? Cinco de Mayo's coming up, which is really nothing more than Mexican Cultural Appropriation Day. So on Mexican Cultural Appropriation Day, hey, Angelica, how you doing? Hey, Angelica, could you do me a favor? Could you be La Traduzcadora for the people over in, like, the Espanol channel? And you could just, like, I don't know, narrate what I'm doing? It's okay. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So even when you get to, like, Mexican Appropriation Day, Cultural Appropriation Day, dude, I don't care how much lime you put in this shit. I don't care how much, like, colorful shit you put in this shit. I don't care what a sidecar is that you put in this shit. It's still fucking shit, and it's not classy. So can we all just do something? Let's just drink the piss water for what it is and accept it for what it is, and let's not try to doctor it up and make it fancy, all right?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, good. Now that we've gone ahead and covered that subject, right? So just when, like, substituting shopping at the local Home Depot for beauty and personal hygiene products for the latest natural selection-inspired TikTok challenge becomes stale, the collective ignorance of this cultural repository steps up with yet another viral trend which Charles Darwin would infinite facepalm himself for. Are we ready, kids? Where could TikTok possibly go? Well, if putting petroleum jelly in your biceps isn't enough, and you're not busy, like, gluing red Solo cups to your fucking face, what you could do is, why not just start doing your own self-cosmetic surgery by self-injecting a bunch of fucking lip fillers into your face, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So apparently earlier this month, a video went viral on TikTok with a user named Kelly Williams administering her own lip filler in her own fucking home. Let me say that again. Administering her own lip filler in her own fucking home, right?
Oh my... I mean, what the fuck?
Dude! And of course, what does she do? She makes sure to do the socially responsible thing. In all caps, she puts, "Please do research before doing this on your own." Right? And then, of course, the post went private more than 48 hours later. Because she didn't want to be the red Solo cup guy that Gorilla glued his face into a fucking red Solo cup, right? She didn't want that to become viral and go around and people go, "Look at that fucking idiot over there." No, so she just went private. And then, of course, she put something here. They usually swell and get bigger after a couple days. So come back to see the final results. Did we see any final results over there?
No.
Nope, it's gone. So apparently, many of these content creators are using tools known as hyaluron pens, which look like those big plastic fake syringes that come in, like, toy doctor kits for kids. And while they aren't actually giant needles, they do have pressurized air to force the filler into the lips and into the folds. So basically what you're doing is you're taking, like, a pneumatic gun and you're loading it up with this filler shit to put inside of your lips. And you don't even have a syringe. You're just blasting it right into your fucking face, right? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? So here's the better part. So these hyaluron pens, they can be purchased on marketplace-type sites that have no vetting and do not have any safety or efficacy. Places like Alibaba, Amazon, eBay, or from, like, faux med spas like Avalora and Cali Beauty Center. Now, here's the catch, right? The catch is that several reviews for these products warn they arrived in used and unsanitary conditions, right? I'm just kind of like...
What the fuck?
So the fucking pen shows up over here. And it's like fucking boxes open. It probably has some feces on it from an anal swab that they fired into some dude's asshole to go and get his, like, you know, to get his swab to make sure he doesn't have COVID. It could have all kinds of stuff like that. Someone could have shoved it up their nose because they were trying to pneumatically blast, like, six lines of cocaine into their face. You don't know what you're getting. So that's basically what they're saying over here. And you're like, all right, well, you could just, like, dump it over in some barbicide, right? Or some shit like that. But no, I'm sure that the other stuff that comes with it, why, that absolutely has to be, like, of the top quality, right? Well, the jars of filler for the pens of similarly questionable origin are listed on, are we ready, kids? Fucking Wish, Etsy, and other sites.
I mean, what the fuck?
I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about doing cosmetic surgery at my home on myself, the very first place I always think of going is fucking Wish, right? Because they've got all of the best products. Well, I mean, I suppose it's still a step up from purchasing your beauty and personal hygiene products from industrial adhesive aisle at a local Home Depot. Can we all agree getting cosmetic surgery supplies from Wish or Etsy might be a bad idea? And incidentally, on a side note, how does injectable lip filler constitute as a handmade craft item on Etsy, right? What the fuck, man? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I mean, LP, could you possibly have a couple of, like, things that might have gone wrong over inside your arsenal of stuff? Of course I do. Of course I do. Well, on the downside, what could possibly happen is you might need 25 syringes stabbed into your face to dissolve the filler injections, kind of like our friend over here, the TikToker Paige Nicole. Apparently what winds up happening is she went ahead and blasted some stuff inside of her face, or she went to a medical spa, right? I say that in air quotes. Medical spa to go get this shit. You know, she blasted some of this in her face. And apparently, according to her, her lip turned into, it had the look of like a brick, and you can see it inside of there. And that's when you know, yeah, my laugh is very contagious. That's what the whiskey said, Angelica. I'm just saying, you know, it's right over here. It's letting me know what the story is. So, yeah, she said it looked like a fucking cement block in her face and her lip. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, dude, what are you doing? So the best part is for her, she also went ahead and had like Botox jammed up in her face also, so that her lip would sag over. Now, if you're not familiar with what Botox is, it's actually botulin. And botulin is the shit that's inside of, like, canned foods when you don't put citric acid or boil your cans properly. So it'll kill you. But instead, what they've done is the cosmetic surgery industry has said, why should we go ahead and kill somebody? Or actually, this toxic shit is perfect. I've always hated how these fucking things sit here and like nerves work and all that stuff. Why don't we just fucking kill them off whenever they're like a problem? You know what I'm saying? We could just blast them with this shit and they're dead. And then you can't like move your face. You can't do anything. Well, with this particular girl, they were looking at her going, you know what? Your lips are awfully small. What we could do is we could just hit it with some Botox so your lip like basically flops over and then fill it up with some filler. And I'm like, what could possibly fucking go wrong, right? Well, apparently what went wrong is her lips sagged over because they fucking destroyed the nerve endings in that lip. And then they turned around and said, hey, let's just blast it with some filler. So they load up the pneumatic gun, jam it into her face, and blast away. Boom, like they're fucking painting the side of a building. And they fill this thing up, and it looks like a cement block. And then she's like, oh, fuck. It's not working right. My whole face is bruising. I can't feel things. Can we please go ahead and fix this? So they're like, no problem. Come on back. It kind of like reminds me of like when you get a warranty on your car and the warranty's just about to run out. And so they'll fix it like in a flash and get it out the door. So then that way, when it falls apart like they know it will, you can come back and pay them again for more fucking work. Same basic concept. So it's like, okay, let's try like 5 injections to the face. Boom. Hey, looks wonderful. Why don't you go home? And then she comes back. Bro, my face is still fucked up. Oh, well, you know, it's going to cost you a little bit, but we can go ahead and stick a couple more in there. How about another like 25 of them? So there you go, man. What could possibly go wrong? That. But don't worry, guys. Don't worry. I know that we all sit here and talk about how wonderful TikTok has been in cleaning out the gene pool because it's like natural selection. But it's like a pay-per-view version of natural selection. It's one of the most wonderful things that's out over in the freaking world right now. But don't worry. While I share the fear for our future that TikTok brings, it appears right now that Mother Nature has asked TikTok to basically hold its beer when it comes to natural selection. Because Mother Nature has decided she's fucking had enough, right? And patient zero, to your point, a scientist came out saying that plastic pollution is shrinking penises and will make most men infertile by 2045. An environmental scientist is worried that has warned that plastic pollution is shrinking penises and making men infertile, meaning most of them won't be able to produce sperm by 2045. So a growing number of babies are being born with small penises as a result of phthalate syndrome. Let's just stop there. Who in the fuck is measuring all of the dicks of all the babies that are being born? What fucking perv is doing this shit? Oh, look, it's a dick over there. I mean, let me ask you a question. I gotta ask because it just popped into my head and I'm talking from like stream of consciousness here. When he's measuring babies' penises, is that before or after circumcision? Because, I mean, there could, you could squeeze a few inches or maybe a half an inch or something in there and, like, fuck up the whole curve. I'm just asking for a friend. I'm asking for a friend. I'm just curious. But, yeah, because that's, I've got that morbid curiosity. So the chemical, which is used to make plastics more flexible, is being transmitted to humans via toys, food, and other items. And throughout her book, she cites peer-reviewed studies warning about collapsing male fertility rates, including a 2017 study which found that male sperm counts in Western countries have dropped by 50% over the past 40 years. So CNN also published an article acknowledging that if sperm were an animal, it might be heading towards an extinction in the Western nations. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my fucking God. So, I mean, just like that, look, man, no more toxic masculinity to worry about and micropenises become the rage. I'm guessing it really won't matter after all, right? Size, that is. I know, man, I've got a sick fucking sense of humor. But don't worry. Don't worry. Scientists are there to help us and preserve the fucking human race. I mean, are we a race? The human community. The human animal. There we go. We'll just go with that, right? We're here to make sure that no matter whether or not micropenises exist and we have no sperm, we'll make sure that we'll go ahead and keep the human race alive, because we're just going to go ahead and effectively scrape up what's left after a Bukkake video and fire it to the moon. So the scientists want to send a massive load of jizz over to the moon. At the annual Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers Aerospace Conference on Saturday, a team from the University of Arizona presented a report titled, quote, Lunar Pits and Lava Tubes for a Modern Ark. You know, I ask myself that every fucking time, Qua. The bottom line of the proposal is that they want to build a sperm bank under the dusty regolith of the lunar surface for safekeeping. This insurance policy, this insurance policy for the future of humanity and all of Earth species. So that means they're going to be collecting semen from an awful lot of species here, right? Wow, that's a lot of jizz. At any rate, would be a repository of productive cells or reproductive cells, including sperm and egg cells. They propose that the bank could act as an ark, like the seed vault and wherever it is in the Arctic. Now, in case of a catastrophe, now, this is not a strange thing, well, to the scientific community, but scientists propose that an all-woman astronaut crew go on long-term missions where they needed to populate new planets, and they could be sent on their way with sperm banks in tow. So that way, they sent up sperm from 10 Earthling donors, and the swimmers, and what they did to check this is they shot up sperm from 10 donors. And the swimmers held up well after their ride to space as if they would have if they'd remained on the ground. So, kids, don't worry. The future looks bleak. Yes, we have natural selection as a pastime over on YouTube for passive entertainment or TikTok or wherever the fuck it is. And micropenises are going to become the rage and we're not going to be reproductive. But don't worry. We're going to go ahead and send a whole bunch of splooge up to the moon. I mean, think about this, right? 4 weeks ago, we talked about sperm cocktails. Those fuckers are wasting, you know, all of these valuable sperm cells that could be shot to the fucking moon over here. I'm just saying, man, science is on top of this, and somehow we're gonna make it through this together. I can't even say that with a fucking straight face. This is just so ridiculous. All right, man, I think I've had enough. We're going to take a break now. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, remaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. I'm just laughing myself to death over here. I got to stop. I guess now might be a good time to go ahead and kind of like pull it back for a second here and kind of talk for just a sec. So those of you that have come in here, because I got a lot of new folks inside of here that I have not seen before, and it's great to have you in the circle of intimacy here this evening.
It's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Now, in the event that you've never actually been to Joculation, I should probably go ahead and let you understand. This show is all about punk rock and satire. So when you think of this show, right, satire, you usually deal with political satire, where you're making fun of political figures. I mean, those are easy punchlines, and it's easy to go ahead and make fun of those people. So for me, I kind of have expanded the range of where we go into the absurd. So if you guys have listened to me over on Ron's show, this is not Ron's show. You're not going to get that guy that's going to sit here and talk to you about the technical aspects of silver investment and whether or not I think that, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, I think Neil asked earlier for some spreadsheets, but not going to happen, man. Not even going to get the accounting stories. This is a completely different thing. So if you're never, he just uses far-right views. Dude, let me tell you something, Ron. They're all a bunch of fucking idiots, okay? It's like watching the Keystone Cops over in the fucking Congress. But, dude, it's seriously a situation where you're sitting here and you're in a satire show. Now, I also do my own original commercials, some parody commercials and things like that. But we'll get into that another time. Tonight, this is like making up for a week that I had off. So there's like a shitload of ground I've got to cover here. So I just kind of wanted to let you know what you're getting into if you haven't figured it out yet. But it's cool to see all of everyone over here. What? Play which one? What are you talking about, Ron? You don't play your commercials enough? Yeah, I know. Maybe what I'll do is I'll include one a little bit later for everybody to listen to. Because, I don't know, I've got a couple of them. I'm actually in the process of building some more. I'm remastering a few of them and changing a few things around. So perhaps I will a little bit later. But let's go on with the show and we'll see where we get to from here. Because, holy shit, there's still a lot to go. So at any rate, there you go. That's the station manager needs more commercials. Normock, let me tell you something. The funny thing is I actually put, like, I think two commercials out there for the station. So if you actually listen to Jukebox, I mean, does anybody listen to Jukebox out there? I'm just asking, Carlos.
No.
Yeah, nobody listens to Jukebox. But you know what? If you did, you'd actually come across one or two of the commercials that are inside of there. But I digress, man. Let's get back to the show here, right? So we have this wonderful thing where, you know, we've talked about all the stupid shit going on. And you know something? I should title this one, you know, this part of it, like, you know.
That's a scam.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what. Dude, let me tell you, Theranos 2.0 over here, the fucking poop patrol over here, the founders of poop testing, let me tell you, bro, $600 million fraud scheme. Check that shit out right there. So Zachary Apte and Jessica Sunshine Richmond, they're founders of a now bankrupt San Francisco startup that analyzed fecal samples to compare customers' gut microbiomes. Well, they've been indicted on multiple federal charges, including conspiracy to commit securities fraud, healthcare fraud, money laundering, after allegedly bilking investors and health insurance providers. Do I feel terrible about the investors at all?
How about you?
But you know, everybody else I might have some compassion for. I mean, Peter Thiel, when he loses a couple million, do I feel bad for Peter Thiel at all? I'm just wondering.
How about you?
Fuck no. At any rate, so the company grew to include clinical tests of gut and vaginal microbiomes, which were aimed to be used by medical providers so UBiome could seek up to $3,000 in reimbursements from health insurance companies. The federal indictment states that UBiome sought upwards of $300 million in reimbursement claims from private and public health insurers between 2015 and 2019, and the company was immediately paid more than $35 million for tests that were, quote, not validated and not medically necessary, according to the San Francisco Gate. They were hoping for Eli's. You know something? I'll tell you what, Normark, that ain't such a bad thing. I mean, shit, if he's going to go ahead and write some checks and not really go and then do any due diligence, do we feel bad at all about that?
How about you?
I'm just wondering where I can get mine. So here's the best part, right? We should sit here and actually get a clue. When you're sitting here looking at something to invest in, you're looking for some authenticity. You're looking for things that are going to go ahead and point you in the right direction and give you a feel of whether or not this is a legitimate company or, you know, something like that. So what do? Well, the pair's endeavors generated quite the buzz for a time, with Richmond even being named, are we ready, an innovator winner in Goop's Greater Goop Awards.
I mean, what the fuck?
Who in the fuck sits here and actually invests in a company that freaking Gwyneth Paltrow says it is an innovator of the year, right? I'm just asking the question. This is the same chick that made jade vaginal eggs and got sued to fucking hell, right? This is the chick who's sitting here going ahead and creating a Netflix show about her goddamn goop empire, and Netflix loses millions of subscriptions because of that show. I mean, why in the fuck would you sit there and invest millions of dollars in there, Peter Thiel, you dumb fuck? Well, you know, whatever. I don't feel so bad for him, right? Well, here's the best part. From Goop's Greater Goop Awards, quote, "We're in the middle of what doctors are calling a microbiome revolution. Red Group's now deleted announcement. And Jessica Richmond, PhD, is at the forefront of it." And I'm sitting there going, bro, and when I go to their site, it's fucking gone. What happened? Well, thankfully, because of the Wayback Machine, we can go ahead and take a look at the original article in all of its splendor. So go take a look at the Greater Goop Awards, right? I mean, you think these guys might have been the brain children behind the Chinese going from nasal swabs to anal swabs? I'm just asking for a friend. I'm just curious, wanted to know. Maybe that was the big rush to shove something up your ass to find out if you got coronavirus so that these people could bill like $3,000 per swab. Oh, well, their gut biome says that they've got anal swab, and look, I've got corn. That's basically what wound up happening. You know what I'm saying? So we have that whole thing, and then, yeah, you get corn as a bonus, right? At any rate, so what pollutes my feed after I look at this but something absolutely fucking fantastic, where we're sitting there talking about this stuff and boom, I learn about predictions from my virtual psychic reading were baffling and raised awkward issues. And I'm like, what the fuck is this all about? Well, apparently, according to Google Trends, searches for birth charts and astrology both hit five-year peaks in 2020, with many in the profession reporting booms in business during this fucking pandemic lockdown. So Miss Cleo made a fucking fortune, right? Companies in the astrology, what? I don't need to calm people. Who's sitting here telling me why are you saying I should calm people? Oh, Calgary Stampede? Never mind. No, I'm not going to calm people down. This is fucking Friday night. It's not time to calm down. And it's not time to take the world seriously either. But I digress. Let me get back to this. No, me, LP? Hey, what can I say, man? I'm the kind of guy that's a little worked up here. Oh, you can do clairvoyance and tarot readings? Let's go through this fucking thing over here. I was distracted. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah. So they both hit five. Companies in the astrology sector have seen growth of 10 to 30% last year with psychic services as an industry. Now, in that article, what winds up happening, and this woman starts talking about her experience with this, virtual psychic. And you see all these, like, uber close-up shots where the psychic has taken the tarot card and shoved it right in front of the camera lens, like right up there. So it's like, wallpaper or some shit like that. And her description reminds me of when I actually watched the Goop series. Yeah, don't judge. Don't judge. I was doing it for this show. You know what I'm saying? You can call me LP with just a sentence. Not a fucking chance at any rate. So you can, I was watching the fucking show. Don't judge. I did it for you guys. I endured it. But my favorite one was the Are You Intuit episode when everybody inside the place is like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling sensations and people around me and I'm feeling emotions and, oh, I feel your love and your energy. You were just thinking about me, weren't you? You know, that kind of shit. But there was the one chick inside there that was just like, I don't get this. I don't get this. And then they had the psychic coming over there talking to her and saying, so you have a grandmother and she went to Mexico, right? No. Okay, don't help me with this, but she's like, she keeps telling me something about the color green. Is there something green in there? No. Okay, well, what about like this yellow donkey show that she went to? Is there something about the color yellow in a donkey show? And then somebody in the back chimes in, oh, I remember when my grandmother was telling me about a donkey show she went to years back over inside of Mexico. You know, one of those types of things. But at any rate, I had this thought as I was reading through this really painful description of what was going on. I was like, if you want to blow the socks off of this woman, if you want to blow her hair back and make her feel like she's got a reading, that is actually deep and meaningful, how about instead of pulling tarot cards for a spread or casting bones for divinations, why not partner up with Goop Labs and, like, cast vaginal egg crystals from the chakras in your vagina to divine the future for this woman? You know, like, fire them from your vagina, kind of like the Bangkok sex show workers fire ping pong balls across the fucking room. That would be captivating, one. And two, it would be like, I'd feel like I was getting my money's worth on the reading. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you might be featured on a future episode of the Goop series, or you might actually fucking win that same award, you know? That innovator award. What is it? The Greater Goop Award. Yeah, you could fucking do that if you would just go ahead and cast, jade vaginal egg crystals from your freaking vagina and divine the future of people. And you could even maybe be featured on the Goop Netflix series with some strategic product placement. So while, you know, I mean, they may not be able to, like, zoom in and actually show it firing across the screen or whatever, but maybe you could give somebody, like, a catcher's mitt that's got, like, a Goop logo or something, have them go to the other side of the yard, and we could just see jade eggs firing like a cannon, like a pneumatic cannon launches them out, and somebody trying to go ahead and catch them in their catcher's mitt to get their reading. I mean, that would be a hell of a pitch. That would be so fucking awesome. Use the vaginal egg crystals to define the nature of people. Dude, that is the greatest fucking soundbite ever. And you know what the best thing is? I'm recording this. So you never know. You might actually get a drop about divining vaginal egg crystals coming to a place near you sometime soon. But I digress, man. No, we're not talking about Goop hand cleaner there. Nine, but that's awesome. All right, man, I need to take a break because. Wow, look, isn't that fade out like that? Hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars. You know the drill. Look at me. There we go. You know the drill. We've got a little less than a half an hour left over here, so we got to go ahead and jump right into it, right? Something to that effect. I was just kind of laughing because as I'm like wandering around over on, Yahoo over here and polluting my feed, one of the things that I think is fantastic polluting my feed was, hey, you know, marijuana can stay in your system for like a couple days or up to a month or whatever. And here's how you can go ahead and clean it out of your system in like five easy steps. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, you know, maybe you should live in a state where the shit is legal and it doesn't really fucking matter. Just a thought. I mean, then what winds up happening is when they casually treat you like an adult, at least occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally, you know, it kind of like makes you expect to, it changes the standards by which you're willing to live under, sort of, but we won't get into that. So what are we going to talk about now, LP? Well, you know, how about we talk about that overinflated, like, fucking, NFT artwork craze that's going on here. It might be a little bit bubbly, I'm just saying, and there might be a few indicators that it might be just a little bit bubbly. One of the indicators that we're talking about here is, I'm thinking to myself that I'm working too hard for the shit that I'm doing. Because apparently what winds up happening is a Brooklyn art director, well, he just sold his fart as an NFT for $85. So I'm wondering, what in the fuck am I doing, man? Why am I working so hard for my fucking money? So at any rate, man, he sits here and he sells his artwork. Well, the artist is Alex Ramirez Malice. And he said, if people are selling digital art and gifts, why not sell farts? So he's selling a whole year of them. He launched an NFT called One Calendar Year of Recorded Farts, which he started at the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020. And he got the idea when him and his friends were sharing audio farts via WhatsApp, the report notes. Let's just stop there for a second. Who in the fuck has enough time to sit there and say, yo, I got this idea. Let's start a private chat up. And how about we fucking record our farts and share them with each other? Right? You just got to sit there.
What the fuck?
What the fuck are you thinking, man? Well, he thought this one through all the way to the bank, right? first fart sold for $85. And on the one-year anniversary of his quarantine, he compiled the respective recordings into what the Post called a 52-minute master collection audio file. He is selling individual fart recordings for 5/100ths of an ether, or about $85 each. So far, he sold one. Now listen, it doesn't matter if he sold one or if he sold 5 fucking million. The point is, somebody bought his farts, or at least one fart, for $85. So remember, kids, when you're sitting there thinking, nobody will buy my shit at all, some dude just sold his fucking fart for $85. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, man, there's always hope. And if that doesn't go ahead and give you an idea of how bubbly the market is, no problem. You remember how they sat there, they've always had that whole, like, saying, when the hairdresser is asking you about Bitcoin, it's time to sell? Well, here's another one, right? When Playboy decides that they want to jump in and fucking get into the NFT marketplace, it's probably time to sell, right? So Playboy's share sprung higher on Wednesday after the company said it plans to leverage its artwork photography collection in the non-fungible token space. Chief Brand Officer Rachel Weber commented, "We're sitting on almost 70 years of the most incredible and iconic art and photography. Come on, man. Just call it what it is. Boobies and coochie. All right? At any rate, we're actively working in our non-fungible tokens and digital collectible strategy to enter this space in a thoughtful way designed for long-term growth." Listen, man. I think it's kind of interesting that Playboy is going there. There are things that they'll go ahead and potentially be able to create as collectible art pieces. But let's be real, right? Do you think they're going to go and, like, bring out the Marilyn Monroe and put it out there, you know, like some serialized version, like, right out of the gate? I mean, come on, right?
How about you?
No, man. They're going to look for the B-roll shit from, like, way back when. You know, back when, like, medieval Bush was a thing and, you know, fucking, hey, let's get the B-list. Let's just, like, get under the couch cushions there, find out the Polaroids, get all the cum-stained Polaroids from Hef back in the day when he was sitting there as a nobody going and grabbing all the freaking free vagina that he could possibly get. That's what they're going to be putting up there. So somewhere betwixt the, like, semen stains and all that other shit, somehow you'll catch a coochie or a boobie or something like that. And she'll be somewhat artfully, gracefully posed, I suppose. You know, they're getting into the space, and they're obviously going to go ahead and empty out their catalog in some way, shape, or form, right? Something like that. And if that isn't enough to make you sit here and say, yeah, this shit's kind of bubbly, maybe getting a little overblown, well, you know, Bad Bobby, you know, the Cash Me Outside chick, for her 18th birthday today, she's auctioning her infamous Cash Me Outside meme as an NFT, right? This isn't even like, you know, like the B list. This isn't even like the C list. We're like somewhere down by like the X list. You know what I'm saying? Like way down the fucking alphabet somewhere. Something like that. So she's celebrating her 18th birthday with this shit. And apparently the sale titled ETH Me Outside, a Cash Me Outside NFT, will include an exclusive set of digital icons derived from the moment that happened on Dr. Phil. You know, you got to get control of your life, Dr. Phil. That dude. The auction will contain 20 NFTs that nobody gives a shit about, with original works nobody could care about, based on the meme, Her Ascent to Fame. Let's just stop there. Fame? Fame? How does one define fame in this whole thing? And it's funny because I actually finished watching a fucking documentary called, you know, Japan Famous. And what it's all about is the whole concept of fame and how Westerners basically have an easy entree into fame in Japan. But I digress. We won't get into that because that might be something that I've got another project set aside that I'm working on and will be content for. But that being said, so she's talking about her ascent to fame. Look, does anybody listen to her rap music that anybody on this fucking planet knows about?
How about new?
I mean, maybe her dog catcher does, or, you know, maybe her beautician might have listened to the first five beats. Maybe her mom is sitting there listening to it occasionally when she's, like, I don't know, washing the dishes or something like that. But is anybody actually watching her? Oh, look at this. Gabriel. Gabriel is watching her. So outside of Gabriel, is anybody watching her? The answer to that is probably, I mean, I'm thinking, you
know. How about new?
So calling yourself famous doesn't necessarily mean that you are, you know, her ascent to fame. Get the fuck out of here with your ascent to fame. At any rate, going back to the legend in her own mind and her original works and all that shit, right? With filmmakers, visual artists, photographers, music producers, and fashion designers. And let me just go ahead and say this much, right? When you're sitting here talking about photographers, your boyfriend capturing your picture of you coming out of the shower in nothing but a towel with his, you know, camera for his Instagram feed, or perhaps to share with his friends, does not constitute photographer in the sense that everybody else thinks of. You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm saying here? Music producers, whatever. Fashion designers, just because somebody is dressing you up like a fucking four-year-old getting ready to go to school for the first day in clothes that they think make you look good, that does not make you a fashion icon. You know what I'm saying? But that's okay. We can be a legend in our own mind and believe that. So her first NFTs will hit OpenSea on Friday for the morbidly curious and people who have nothing else to fucking put their money towards. Followed by a March 29th drop on Rarible and then a March 31st drop on Zora. So in the event that you've got some extra ETH to just piss away and you don't feel like actually gambling it on, like, you know, one of those illegal gambling platforms. So judgy, those words. But on one of those illegal gambling platforms that maybe go ahead and are not exactly, like, I don't know, PC here in, or acceptable here in the United States. And you feel like just throwing away some fucking money because, I don't know, it's like going into a titty bar and throwing a bunch of, like, dollar bills at the women on the stage. Hey, listen, go buy some fucking NFTs that'll probably be worthless tomorrow. But you know what? You can forever have that drop that says, cash me outside, that you can just play over and over and over. And then you don't have to go ahead and pay any royalties or anything. Right? You don't have to sit there and worry about copyright infringement or stupid shit like that in the world of audio that the rest of us have to worry about, right? Dude, Phil McGraw, let me tell you, that dude, talk about a corpse fucker. Allegedly. You know, you always have to caveat and put at the end of that thing allegedly, right? As in, because it, like, has that catch-all phrase of, in my opinion, please don't sue me, so on and so forth. So allegedly is like that catch-all phrase. So, Dr. Phil McGraw, corpse fucker, allegedly, right? All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. Let's see what we got. Oh, look at that. It's the Dick Cheese Hour. All right. I always love this time. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. Go spend some ETH. Make it rain on, like, Bad Bobby over there. I'll go ahead and pimp her shit, even though she won't pimp mine. Because why? Because I'm a magnanimous dude like that. You're listening to Joculation. Sort of, maybe, kind of. I don't know. I gotta say, as much as I might play that one, it never gets old. But you know something? I don't play that nearly as much as I play some of the other stuff. So, you know, I could always just gonna... But no, we can't do that. Man, I've got so much stuff. I've got so much material. It's unbelievable. But you know what, kids? Just like that, the end of the show is pretty much here. Can you believe that shit? I can't believe it. And I've been doing this show now for like 2 hours. Can you believe that? I sure can. So let's go through what we learned today, kids. Just as a wrap-up of the show, what did we go ahead and touch on? We touched on Zack Snyder's very terrible interpretation. Well, let me put it to you this way. It's more like a great big like CDO shit fest of a bunch of different things slammed all together. You know what I'm saying? more. Look at that. Where we basically took all the shit off the cutting room floor. We crammed it all together in one great big fucking package and said, look, there's value and it's wonderful. And I put some sepia tones and some new shitty cuts inside of it. And then we got like the French actors sitting there screaming and like yelling, hey, guess what? No fucking culture, no future. And what did we do? We went and took a look exactly at all the great cultural failures of recent history, like Popeye the bodybuilder and the freaking Bill Clinton hosting empowering women seminars and freaking North Carolina where they went and had like a Twitter profile with slavery for life hashtags. And then Facebook's real helpful with all of those fucking white supremacists by auto-generating all their pages. And then we had Ted Cruz with all of his fucking, oh, I don't apologize for my thoughts and prayers. Get the fuck out of here, dude. And signing on all the copies of freaking Green Eggs and Ham and shit. We have Prince Chucky over there attempting to take the lead on the palace response of his fucking disastrous Meghan and Harry's interview. And then what do? We suggested that he hire, like, Miss Cleo and the seatbelt psychic to go and, like, proofread his shit and let him know how people are going to react to it, right? What else did we do? We talked about the joys of TikTok, how they're turning, like, Corona into tequila sunrises because somehow that piss water mixed with all that sugary shit is supposed to be more delicious. You can't improve piss water, man. I'm just saying. And then we had those do-it-yourself lip filler kits that they went ahead and did. And now we're going to have micro penises and no babies. But don't worry, they're going to be shooting jizz, a massive load of jizz, on a rocket to the moon to make sure that the human race will continue, even though we'll have, like, little dicks and, like, no sex drive. And then we talked about the fantastic founders of the shit-testing startup that turned out to have defrauded a couple people, but were featured as innovators of the year in the Greater Goop Awards. What else did we cover? We covered some predictions from a virtual psychic reading, and we suggested that she should team up with the Goop Labs so that she can cast vaginal, you know, egg crystals from her vagina, kind of like the Bangkok sex show workers fire ping pong balls across the room, right? What else did we cover? Boy, we covered a lot, didn't we, folks? We also covered the wonderful world of the NFT art sale with the dude who sold his fart for $85 as an NFT. And I'm asking myself, why did I make such poor vocational errors, right? And then we went ahead and took a look at Playboy and what they're going to be doing in the NFT market, which translates to not a whole heck of a lot, but they're really talking up a good game. And then we talked about Bad Bobby, how she's celebrating her 18th birthday by auctioning off her famous Cash Me Outside meme as an NFT. You know how it is, all those things. So we covered a lot of ground tonight. And you know what they say, man, that's all there is tonight, kids. There is no more. For everybody that came out here tonight, no, I'm not up to doing like overtime tonight. Maybe catch me next week. It's been a rough week. But I'll tell you what, for all of you that came out tonight, I appreciate it. Thanks for going in and stopping by. Thanks for hanging out over here. And, you know, just kind of like killing a Friday with me and enjoying a little bit of satire and some punk rock. And, you know, kids, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? Catch me next week. I'm LP Faust checking out. You're listening to Joculation. Hope to catch you next time. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.